I think it's a great topic. Some might think it's a little bit crap, but I think it's fantastic.
What are we going to learn about sewerage today? The only thing I think I need to know about sewerage is I go to the toilet, I press the button and it goes away and I don't have to deal with it.
It vanishes. Mm. Yes, the vanishing model of sewerage treatment. I think it's a fantastic model for most people. But one of the interesting things from a futures perspective that your listeners might like to know is it could be one of the most potential sources of income for them that they haven't actually yet paid attention to.
Really? I could make money from my own poo.
Very much, particularly if you've got a good diet, it will be helpful. So the challenge is at the moment that we have a phosphate shortage around the world, and most of that phosphate disappears when we go to the toilet. So we use phosphate, as you know, to grow crops, and we eat that phosphate that goes through into our waste streams and then gets flushed down the toilet. And part of the challenge
we eat the phosphate as a result of eating the food that has been fertilised by it.
Correct. Every plant needs a level of phosphate in order to grow and certainly to flower. So the challenge now is if we've got a phosphate shortage around the world, how do we grow crops? And one of the developments is the way to farm phosphate from our biosolids, the poo that we flush down the toilet.
I'm still not understanding. Is this process, me making money out of my own poo, how am I going to do that without, say, power and water doing it? Because at the moment, power and water take care of the sewerage. How do I capture my own sewerage and then make money from it?
Well, a lot of people who are off the grid users of electricity and they don't rely on a supply will probably have things like a small methane farm already. So their sewage system might actually be a very large tank in the old septic system. You can actually tap the methane that is created from your waste and use that to generate electricity or a form of heat. So that's available to everyone. Now it's been around for a number of years. It's not new. It's proven technology. And there are smaller and smaller kits, particularly in Japan at the moment, that make them a very interesting source of energy. And now when you talk about power and water, you start thinking, do we actually need power and water at all? Now, it's a big step, but there are systems available now that some people might like to explore if they're interested.
So if you're on a septic system, for example, if you run your own septic tank, then this might be something that you might be already doing even. You might be capturing your methane to power your beer fridge.
Yeah, correct. And there's an organisation called the Alternative Technologies Association that has all sorts of articles on how that's being done. This is not new. Yeah, this has been around for a good 20 or 30 years.
But it would be difficult, wouldn't it, if you live in the city like I do. You know, I live in an apartment. There's an apartment block for me to be able to capture my own sewerage and then turn it into fertiliser to sell on. That would be a really difficult thing to do.
Far more challenging to do, but it is doable. But the concept of treating our waste streams, our human waste streams, as something other than waste is where the shift really comes in society. Because once we start to appreciate what we're really flushing down the toilet and treating it as a valuable source of nutrients or an energy source, you start thinking about things far differently and create different systems for it. And I think that's where we're headed in society. We're getting much better at understanding that waste streams are really opportunities for reuse in other applications.
Marcus, why do we why do we have to go and create all of this new technology so that we can capture the waste, use it as fertilizer to then fertilize our gardens to grow our own food? Why can't we just set up a veggie patch in our own backyard and when you need to go to the loo and do a number two, you just go outside and do it in the garden?
Well, potentially you can do that now anyway. And things like dry toilets, which are also available, that's the process they use. So the decomposition takes place on site and, you know, very minimal maintenance required on them. So that's already happening now. For the at-home person, what you've just mentioned is exactly what's taking place around the world already, where people are understanding that they have a good source of nutrients that can be quite useful. Now, we talk about infectious issues with biosolids, and there's certainly an element that needs to be treated there. But again, it's not an insurmountable problem.
So are you saying that it's not a good idea to do a poo in the garden because it's toxic?
Vast volumes could be toxic. So you have to manage this sensibly and have a system that's relatively closed.
The waste that we excrete, it does need to be treated before it's turned into phosphate, before it becomes fertilizer.
Well, we need to be careful about the concept of the word treated, because that brings to mind all these wonderful pieces of technology and flushing systems and all that sort of stuff. And that's what the big sewage treatments do. By and large, the answer to that is it doesn't need too much, but it needs some. And that's where the challenge is. There are closed systems that people can put into their homes now using a dry toilet technology, which basically does this now.
So what's a dry toilet?
You don't flush. You never flush. It captures everything and enables the solids to dry really effectively and quite well. The part that normally creates the smell is the urine, not the solid matter. So the dry toilets effectively help separate the urine element and therefore enable the decomposition to take place without smell.
What, and then you remove a tray from the dry toilet and you can...
And lay it somewhere else, that's right.
Okay. I'm just thinking about this, that it could actually be a bit of a money earner for small councils, for example, who don't have a massive rate base.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing to think of, if we talk about this whole biosolids movement, understand also that from a health implication, there are toilets now that can check your waste and you can get a health readout based on what you've just deposited, and it will send a readout either to your doctor or to your phone and tell you how your health and diet is stacking up right now. So there's a whole series of developments coming in biosolids, Vicky, that might be very, very interesting and we are likely to see more of in the future.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much, Marcus Barber.
See you next week.